Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic, discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. It's your girl, Brandi Stankovic, and today we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, and of course, it's down the path of leadership. I'm sure you're not surprised in that realm, but really, it's down the path of nature versus nurture. And is leadership something that people are born with? Is it something that they learn? Is it something that's evolved? Does it come from experience? Does it come from a textbook? And how do we, as people, bring out these experiences or these skills in ourselves? And we have a subject matter expert, somebody that's near and dear to my heart that helped me evolve in my leadership capacity. That's Dr. Farzeem Majidi, and I will introduce you to him a little further as we go forward. So let's get started. Leadership in general is something that impacts every single person, I believe, in any capacity. So even if you don't have a traditional leadership role, maybe there isn't leadership in your title. There isn't a vice president or a president or a director or some sort of fanciness in the title that you, in your organization. That doesn't matter. If you're a person that influences others at home, if you're the person that influences others in at work or at school or just in your home, in your community, in the things that you do in your extracurricular, then you're a leader. You might have some of these skills, and some of them might be innate. Some you might have built up through time. And so where did that all come from? And I love to dig into this topic, and maybe it's late night over way too many shots of Jägermeister, or maybe it's, you know, when I figure something out and think, wow, how does that person have that particular skill? Or I see some leadership in action, or maybe it's just being drawn to a particular leader, or being drawn to somebody's dance moves out, you know, on the dance floor, whatever it is. I'm drawn to people's leadership skills in so many different capacities that I often find myself thinking through this topic. And in the podcast, as always, we're going to dig in the ways of the learn, love, and the kick ass. So in the learn section, I'm going to kind of throw some ideas at you about what does it mean, nature versus nurture. In the love section, love, we're going to get to know one of the most loving people that I know, as I mentioned, Dr. Farzeem Majidi, and he'll talk about his experience and his journey in leadership. And then in kick-ass, we're going to give you some tools on how you can implement this in your day-to-day. And as you know, for those that have been a follower of the podcast, first of all, thank you. And second of all, you know that I want to give it to you in a straight and real and authentic manner. For the first time ever, I was in Vienna, and I've been to Vienna before, but what was the first time was I had an individual come up to me and say, can I take a photo with you? And at first I'm like, sure, what, you know, what's the capacity? Are we selfing? Or because we were at a networking reception event, and they said, I follow your podcast and I'm a huge fan and I want to take a picture. And I want to tell you, I'm telling this story because it was like the coolest moment ever. And I actually had someone take a photo of someone taking a photo of me with her, right? So, because it was like the biggest moment, it was like the biggest moment ever. But in that process, I thought to myself, yes, it, you know, that there's moments of you, thank you for those that are listening, for giving to us, for sharing with us so we can give to you. And one of the things that she said that she loved is that we're keeping it real. We're talking about leadership in a straight up way. And I think that that's what's missing sometimes in the traditional education that I've been through, or my experiences in that, is that theory is theory and business is business. And so often the street talk doesn't always connect with the theoretic, academic, institutional talk. And how can we meld those two in a respectful way? Because sometimes I don't think there's always that respect when you bring the two together. So thank you to anybody that's out there supporting us in this endeavor, because we're figuring it out as we go. So leadership, nature, nurture, what does it mean? So are leaders born or developed? I see both sides of this. I believe that in my journey in leadership, I have had both kind of sides of the sword can impact my development. I believe that certain parts of my environment have helped me to develop certain parts of my experience have led me to be who I am, have helped to shape my hunger, have helped to broaden my mind or my love for learning or knowledge. But I also have a certain proclivity to certain skills or aptitudes that came from genetics. And I am certainly open to that, if that makes sense, if I'm kind of describing that in a general way, meaning that, so for example, I have some creativity or art and it's in my blood and I know that I have that from my blood, but I've also nurtured it and gone with it and developed that as well. But I also have learned some things along the way that I wouldn't have if I hadn't had gone out and forced myself to get into that situation. So let me break it down into born with it and learned over time. So in the born with it aspect, let's take an example of Michael Phelps. Most people listening will know or watching will know Michael Phelps. He obviously is a massively successful Olympian, won 28 medals, and he has been just forging the way in what he does in swimming. And would he be amazing, so amazing at swimming if he wasn't the beast of a man that he is, right? He's 6'4", but he also has that wingspan, as many of you know, of 7 feet, right? So his arms extend a tremendous amount and his inseam is only 32 inches, right? So think about that. So I don't know exactly how that translates into meters and things, but oh, wait a minute. I'm getting some notes from the people in the production studio of where I was going with that, those dirty minds. But no, the inseam at 32 inches, I have a 32 inch inseam and I'm only 5'9" and he's 6'4" and has a 32 inch inseam. So the body is shaped in the fact that he's got a very long torso. So he's a very large man, very long arms, and he can swim in that way. So now, mind you, has his born with it, his genetics impacted his ability to be that level of Olympian? I venture to guess yes. So does our genetics impact our abilities? Sure it does, right? Sure it does. On the flip side, let's take the learned over time component of that. Now, my husband is 6'6 and also has a 32 inch inseam. And I tell him, I'm like, you know, you missed your calling in swimming, right? And he just didn't go down a swimming path and didn't obviously have the same path that Michael Phelps did. And yet, you know, has similar genetics as far as body type, right? So here's maybe similar genetics, but different experiences or environment and completely different stories and paths in regards to the outcome. And so obviously Michael Phelps's environment or path impacted his success and hunger and his drive and everything that went into his coaching, his everything. So in that aspect, almost like his learned over time or his environment or his nurture impacted him greater than his genetics, although it's impossible to say that he couldn't have done it without. So it's one of those things that definitely gets my juices flowing. I also think about when it comes to environment and our experience and how environment impacts our leadership and ability is how much of that has to happen organically and how much of that can happen forced or intentionally. And what I mean by that is when I was growing up, we didn't have as much as I have now, right? So when I was growing up, things, we lived on a different side of the tracks for sake of cliche. And so I learned to be humble. I learned to drive. I learned to save. I learned to just be hungry. And I'm thankful for that. And now I'm raising children and giving them anything they could possibly imagine because I work my butt off and I want to be able to deliver that for them. And then I think to myself, how do I teach them hunger? And can I teach it to them, or do they have to experience being without in an organic way in order for them to have that deep down inside their souls? I may have shared with you, I went to Africa, and I might have told you this story, but it's worth bringing up again. But I went to Africa and I was working at the Busia orphanage for children that had been affected by HIV and AIDS. And these children, when we were there, some of them don't even wear shoes and don't have some of the basic things that we clearly take for granted. And I have more than one pair, let's be honest. And I think in those moments when it took us 11 hours to get there and it was a really long drive and it was so hard and we get out of the car and I want so badly to just complain or whine or feel like in this moment of, gosh, that was a long trip. And then I look and I see these children that are impacted by this disease that is just, you know, a difficult disease for no better way to describe it. And they don't have shoes on. And then who am I to complain? And then I think about my kids who have everything. And then I think, how do you teach that? How do you teach, you know, the ability to have that coming from nothing and rising above and rising stronger and having that hunger? And so when it comes to leadership skills, there is a challenge for leaders in the future, for you, for everyone that's listening, to experience and to broaden your mind. And although I can never say that I understand or can feel what somebody has gone through in Africa, I can't. I have not lived that. I have not lived in their shoes. I can say that I have been there to at least witness it with my own eyes, and I appreciate it a little bit more than I did before I went. And so I urge all leaders to do the same, to learn as much as you can. And that comes in that learned over time piece, that even if you can't experience things organically, the next best thing is to be intentional about your learnings. So before I bring in Dr. Farzin here quickly, the biggest thing I want to say is that leadership skills really come down, from my perspective, to emotional intelligence and emotional maturity. Experience and skills come from this emotional maturity. How are you going in your path? And how do we go down this path and bring it all in together and learn from it? And there's no one better to bring it all together for us than Dr. Farzin Majidi. I met him for the first time at Pepperdine University. He is a professor of leadership at Pepperdine in the Graduate School of Education Psychology. This is the school and graduate school that I went to and got my doctorate. He was very influential in my growth and opened my eyes to many things. He has a bachelor's from Cal State Northridge as well as a master's from there. He's got his MBA from Pepperdine as well as an education doctorate from Pepperdine. He's held many management positions for the City of Los Angeles and Matrix Capital Associates. He's been a consultant to several large organizations such as AT&T, FedEx. He also was a winner of the California Diversity Council's the Diversity First Award in 2009. He's won the Outstanding Teaching Award at the University of Phoenix as well as Pepperdine and the Graduate School of Education Psychology. He's also co-founded a business, and he's going to tell us some fun stories about that journey as well. So please join me in welcoming Dr. Farzin Majidi. Hello there. How are you?
Great. Good to see you.
It's so good to see you. And just as we were laughing right before we started, it is amazing that it's been as long as it's been since I was in your classroom. I was laughing with somebody recently when I was out traveling that would it be tacky if I came back and got a second doctorate?
We have one ready for you. We have a brand new PhD program.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Well, good to see you. Tell us a little bit about your journey in leadership.
Well, I never saw myself as a leader when I started out. Mm. I always, as a second child, an underachieving second child to a superstar, firstborn, I just wanted to be in the shadows. And life doesn't sometimes allow you to do that. So I found myself in situations where I had two options, complain or do something about it. And then I learned to do something about it. And that's how my journey began.
Oh, that's amazing. And so really your journey and some of that began all the way before you even thought about the term leadership.
Before I even knew the term at all, yes.
Wow. And what gave you that hunger for growth in that way?
As a person, I studied engineering and I studied systems, and I would see how systems can improve the conditions so everybody could excel. Mm-hmm. And I would find myself unhappy with the level of discontent and acrimony in organizations as an engineer. Mm-hmm. And my part of the wiring that you talked about in terms of nature for me was to do something about it. Mm-hmm. So I would volunteer, I would step up, I would offer help and offer free time. And people often say yes to when you offer free time.
Yeah, right.
To get my hands dirty.
Get the experience. Yeah. Smart. That's really smart. So how do you help develop other leaders then?
My fundamental belief in life is that there is a leader hidden in everyone, waiting to be awakened. So my big challenge is to first not get in the way of that leader awakening, and then not let the leader get into his or her way of awakening.
Yeah.
And then once you see that light, once you see that sparks come out, then yes, you can lead. that you can contribute, that you can make a difference, and you see that in you, then the journey begins.
I love that you sang it that way. And I remember in very early on in the program, you were digging in with me of what I wanted to be when I grew up. And I don't know, you know, I didn't know then. I don't know that I know now. And being in a room of a bunch of A-type strong people, everybody was going to tell me what I was going to be and all of that. And I remember at one point you shushed everybody. You're like, nope, this isn't anybody else's decision to make. And I remember that, Moses. It's really interesting that you're talking about that. And we do get in our own way, don't we?
We absolutely do. We are wired to do that. Not so much by nature, but by part of our training. Most of our personality, I believe 90 to 95% of our personality is formed in our first 17, 18 years of age. Hmm. A large majority of it in childhood. So the environment around us, the training we get, the upbringing we get, pretty much wires us to have reactions to different types of situations. And some of us are wired to step up and some of us are hesitant to do that because every time we did and it didn't work out, people told us we weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And we adopted that as a persona, as a 7, 8, 12, 13-year-old. And we allow that young person dictate the rest of our lives.
Sure. Wow. So what's a disaster that you've survived or a lesson that you've learned throughout the process?
Well, about 5 or 6 years ago, I made a partnership with a person who I knew well, and we started a business. The business has been very successful and has really outlived anybody's expectations of it. And unfortunately, the old adage of if partners were good, God would have had partners caught on with us. So we are in litigation now, and we did a lot of our partnership without formality, without contracts and what have you. So yes, that in part led to not having things in clear, written, concrete form and allowing room for misunderstanding, which has really, in essence, shattered the partnership.
Right.
And that's the disaster, the believing in handshake deals and trusts.
Right.
Now, I have to tell you,
please.
I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, please.
The question that often comes up is, would you have done it differently?
Mm.
No.
Hmm.
Because I knew what I knew then, not what I know now. I believed then what I believed then, not what I believe now.
Mm.
And if I could go back in time, I would have done exactly what I did then. Because I didn't know what happened today then. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And it almost gives me chills a little bit. And that is pretty evolved of you to say that and to not hold any angst against that person, considering what you know now.
Well, the angst only takes away my energy.
Mm.
I have a limited amount of energy and I can direct it to making a difference in what matters or wasting it on punishing myself for what doesn't matter.
Mm.
You can have most things in life that you wish if you're willing to give up regret for not having them.
Hmm.
I truly believe that.
I love that. And in the case of the partnership, advice, now that you do know what you know, what going forward, if you were to enter a business in another partnership today, what would you do?
Well, not having regret is different from not learning a lesson.
Sure.
So, one of the valuable lessons that I learned out of this is even in the best of circumstances, you need well-defined boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why houses have hedges or fences between them. You want to be able to keep your stuff at your end and your neighbor's stuff on their end without it jumping over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
And boundaries give people power.
Mm-hmm.
Not force, not ability to torment others. That's force. That mm-hmm. negates power. But the power of freedom, the power to be, the power of self-expression, the power of growth. Without boundaries, you jeopardize those.
Hmm. Interesting. And what do you think? Is a person born with or is leadership learned?
As you know, I also teach a little bit of economics. And in economics, every time I'm asked the question, the standard answer is, well, it depends. On one hand, yes. On the other hand, no. In leadership, the answer is very different. The answer is always yes. Are leaders born or trained? Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Yes.
So it happens in both realms, and you've seen people that didn't have traditional leadership skills step up, and you've seen people that should have been fail.
Yes. Life is full of stories of such instances. Moses, when approached by God to lead, he said, "No, Lord, you're mistaking me with my brother. I'm not a good leader. I'm not even a good speaker. I stutter. And my brother is a very charming, charismatic person. And I'm not ready." And he probably, by his own account, wasn't, yet was able to step up. Take this even further. Just recently read a study that was done in Japan with a bunch of youngsters, kindergarten students. So I am tone deaf, so I really have an appreciation for music and working on my ability to be able to clap along without distracting everybody. So the notion of perfect pitch is an unattainable, unbelievable talent that others have that I really wish I could at least come close. So in this study, they had a bunch of kids and they trained them to have perfect pitch. It started out early. It started out with a particular type of training. But the end result was after 3, 4, or 5 years, depending on the student, every one of those students had perfect pitch.
Hmm.
So if you can learn to have perfect pitch, you can certainly learn to influence people.
And how, what did they do differently?
They have a whole regiment of training, and it's called intentional training.
Hmm.
They focus on repetition. They focus on diagnosis of where deviations from the perfect pitch were, and customized prescriptions, if you will, to help those kids get back on tune. But lots of repetition.
And a lot of force. Do you think there's a lot of less carrot, more stick happening over there?
I don't know. Traditionally, the natural belief would be that Japanese are more structured in their training, so they're probably more stick than carrot. I don't know. That really wasn't a variable in there. They were fairly loving. Loving doesn't mean strict. I am sure they were strict.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the example that I gave earlier, you remember my husband, Jimmy, yes?
Yes.
And do you think he could have been a Michael Phelps? Yes.
Well, of course. I have no claim to any achievement in the field, but I studied martial arts all my life. I can proudly say, with all honesty and no modesty, that I was the single worst student in every class that I ever attended. I just was not meant to do the splits,
right,
or even come remotely close to it.
Right.
But I was able to learn enough to be successful at it. I hold a brown belt, and if I hadn't crushed my elbow in an accident on a mat, I would have probably been able to achieve a black belt.
Mm-hmm.
Would I have ever achieved being Bruce Lee? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
That's a rare combination.
Sure.
But would I be able to achieve some level of mastery that's consistent with the full abilities that I could put out, with how I was put together? I think so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as a goal in leadership, in life, in everything else, is something you can have some talent for,
mm-hmm,
and also through training achieve fully.
Yes. And that's interesting that you say about the being not the best student in some of the things that you've gone after and whatever, because I always talk about the fact that I'm the worst student sometimes, and that's good for me, because in doing what I do now, I teach to me. You
yes.
know, because I know what I would do in those. I'd be skeptical. I'd be multitasking. I'd be doing those things. And so if I can teach to me, then I should be able to keep somebody engaged.
Well, frankly, your humility, because my experience with you was quite the opposite, but your humility has given you access to empathy, being able to put yourself in the positions that a struggling student might be, and be able to adjust and compensate their lack of enthusiasm and perhaps interest by being able to deliver your material in a way that you would have learned so they can in turn learn, is a big gift to have.
Mm-hmm. It is. So share an action item with us for the listeners, or some sort of takeaway, something they can implement.
Well, from my recent experience in the business, I am now more than ever committed to there is no such thing in life as regret. And a lot of things in life that were unachievable, personal, professional, etc., become available if you're willing to give up regret. I don't mean learning a lesson from a mistake you made. That's growth. That's not regret.
Right.
Regret often translates into punishing something for an outcome that you could not have predicted at the time when you made the decision.
Mm-hmm.
And punishing yourself is not a way to grow.
No, you're right. You're right. That's hard to do. Easier said than done, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And very powerful. Thank you so much. If people wanted to get a hold of you, how could they do so?
They can reach me at the Graduate School of Education and Psychology at Pepperdine University and through email at farzine.matgd@pepperdine.edu. And I'm sure they can reach out to you for any other contact information they need. I'm open. I'm available 24/7.
Excellent. We'll put it out on our website as well. Thank you so much, Dr. Majidi. It's so exciting to see you. I'm absorbing all of your nuggets of love, and it's just great to see and be looking at you here, even if it's through Skype. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Entirely my honor and pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you've reached Ginger in San Diego, California. Make sure to check out Brandy's podcast, Strategic Hotbox. It's full of information. You'll get a lot out of it. Make sure you check it out. It's awesome.
How exciting was that to see Dr. Majidi? I feel so warm inside just the experience that I had with him. And he's kind of one of those silent killers, in a sense that the things that he was saying are so powerful, and some of the takeaways that he had are so intense, and you really have to listen to them. And I really love the idea of regret, and that really the only person that regret hurts is us, and that it doesn't bring you any power, and that it just burns energy, and we only have such a finite amount of energy. So thank you to him, and thank you to Ginger for that shout out. She has a relationship with Dr. Majidi as well, so it's such a nice group of people to be contributing here on the Hot Box today. So now it's my favorite time, your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Number one, do not let the nature versus nurture limit you and your leadership journey. So it doesn't matter if you were born with or without. It doesn't matter if you have access to a lot or access to a little. Go out there and do what you can with what you got. And that was one of the stories that Dr. Majidi shared with us about his journey in martial arts. Would he have been Bruce Lee? No, but he would have achieved the whatever greatness he could, given the tools and abilities that he had. And so we don't want to let that limit us in our journeys, and so, or have it be an excuse, just because I'm not this, then I can't achieve that. Number two, drive that hunger. Just in the story that I was sharing with you about Africa and my kids, and is experience need to be organic or can it be intentional? Whatever you can do to create urgency in your hunger and your leadership, and not let other people blow out the flame of your success. Get out there and push, and keep pushing every single day. Number three is to be situational. Leadership's going to be different in every environment that you're at. You have to be nimble in that. Got to be able to be flexible in what you're doing and how you're approaching situations. And different situations will require different experiences. And I just, as I mentioned, the emotional maturity that comes with experience, being situational in your leadership style will allow that. And the more that you experience, the more situational you can become. Number four is to keep learning. Learn with every experience, every disaster, as Dr. Majidi said. I love the idea that he wouldn't change anything when he goes back, because he didn't know then what he knows now, but he has learned from here going forward what he would do differently. And so to keep learning and know what you would do differently in the future. And number five, work the charm. Know what it takes to maneuver situations and make people smile and share the love and get out there and learn love and kick ass. There's your top five kick ass. Mm-hmm. Thank you again to Dr. Farzin and to Ginger for the shout out. We'd love to hear from you on topics that you want us to tackle here on the Hot Box. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter at Brandy Love, BrandiLuv, or Instagram at Strategic Hot Box or at Brandy Love, or email us at podcast@strategichotbox.com. For any ongoing tools, we have a free leadership detox out there. We have executive coaching worksheets. We got all sorts of stuff made just for you at thestrategichotbox.com. If you ask for it, we'll make it happen and we'll give it to you. So get out there until I see you again. Get out there and kick some ass.